Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Heel Team 6 Wrestling is proud to present the Bodega Wrestling Podcast. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Bodega Wrestling Podcast. I am one of your panelists tonight, the quintessential Puerto Rican muffin, Jorge Luis Martinez Jr. As always, we are here to bring you the best wrestling info of the week. Today, I had to scrunch, look high and low for a panelist because everybody was out doing their own stuff, and we finally got one. Unfortunately for this panelist here, I had to go down to the deep parts of Louisiana down in the swamps because we found her burying the New Orleans Saints Super Bowl hopes, and she says she's going to try to bring them out for next year. So please, if you can, I know it's hard for you to talk, but can you introduce yourself to the masses?
Hi, I'm here, and even though I'm kind of grieving from a Saint, I'm here to bring you my perspective on wrestling this week.
And I'm guessing that's with a heavy heart.
Yes.
Like they say up here in New York, who is that instead of who that? Yeah, that's how we say is who is that. But anyways, let's jump right into Impact Wrestling, where they had their second show on the biggest channel they ever had, the Pursuit Channel, right? And the simulcast of Twitch. Did you get a chance to watch the whole show?
Well, my laptop crapped out the most of the first hour.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, you did mention that, yes.
But I was able to watch the last, like, 11 minutes of the first hour and then the other half of the show. And it was relatively good to me. I did get a chance to go back and watch Cross's stuff. Like, I've gotten that far with it. And he did great as always, and he's the number one contender, and they're having that match this week, and that's something that I'm really looking forward to.
Now, you also had a chance to interview him earlier this week, right?
Yes, I did.
How did that go?
That went spectacularly. He is such a great interview. He gave me answers that I didn't even think I was going to get from him. So, you know, if you have a chance to interview him, other podcasts out there, you might want to try and snag him while you still can, while he's not that busy, because he's about to be in very high demand. I know it.
Okay. Was there any question that you asked that you were surprised by the answer?
I was actually surprised that when I asked him about red meat or black coffee, that he actually gave up the black coffee. I actually got him to give me a straight answer because I was thinking I was going to get something cryptic from him, or he was going to go into Killer Cross mode for a second, but that just goes to show what a great interview he is.
Okay, cool. Now, anything from the show from this past week, that anything stand out as being good or being bad, being weird?
Just the whole Tessa suspension thing, I'm like, this is such bullcrap. Like, we all know where this is headed. This is headed where Tessa's going to show up to the Impact Zone a bunch of times, and then Gail's going to be forced into fighting her. I mean, it's like, why even do the suspension angle?
Maybe they have nothing else to do, so they decided to go with that instead.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the show. You know, I thought it was fast-paced how it started, you know, with Cage destroying almost everybody in the back, and then kind of coming in, out, and then kind of destroying KM and Caleb Conley, who we haven't seen in months, and also kind of destroying Fala. So that was kind of interesting how, you know, powerbomb. And then, you know, Johnny coming out, and then he's getting beat up by Moose and Cross. And then they both come in and destroy both Johnny and Cage in the ring. So I thought that was kind of like, you know, pretty good setup there. I also liked the Edwards and Page match, even though I didn't like the ending, how it was a DQ. And then now we're kind of stuck with Drake now going after somebody else from, what, ECW days? Because that's how Edwards be acting now. So that's another useless feud that I see coming up for Drake. You know, we got to see Allie and Grace, or Grace beat her. But then, you know, the whole switcheroo between Soo Young and Rosemary coming out. So I'm finally happy to see Rosemary in the show after being out for almost a year. One thing that I didn't like was the Scarlett Bordeaux reveal that she was the one who chose herself for the talent search winner thing. Oh my God, I thought that was just such a waste of time. This whole talent search thing just for her to pick herself. I don't know. I just thought that was just, it made no sense to me, to be honest with you.
On the whole Rosemary being back thing, yes, welcome Demon Mother. Welcome back. The Hive welcomes you with open arms. And as far as Scarlet, I am legit laughing at all of the guys out there who were so pissed that she didn't pick somebody. I am like sitting here like, all of you got played, okay? Like, really? And if you don't see that there's some kind of supernatural like quality to Scarlet on screen character and impact, and this has to do with it.
I mean,
from a woman's perspective, I'm like, y'all all got played.
Oh, of course. Well, we all did. I mean, I'm mad about that too, to be honest with you. But it's like, this lady has still not even wrestled one match in Impact except for the other Explosion. And I was actually there when she actually wrestled in Windsor last year when she had that one match. So this lady is like big or over all over the place. AAA. I mean, when she wrestles in AAA, that's like the most watched matches on YouTube is when she's there and other places. So she's hot over other places, but she still hasn't wrestled one match on TV here yet. So, and it's going to be almost a year that she's been there. So I don't know. I see your point about the sex appeal stuff, but man, that was just a big letdown to me. I'm sorry.
I think it's coming. Well, I think she's going to wrestle on TV sooner rather than later.
Yeah, another year from now, probably.
Oh, sheesh.
Most likely. But anywho, that's not here nor there. One of the matches that I did like was Swan versus my R&B soul boy there, Trey Miguel. For some reason, like he's thinking every time I say Trey Miguel, I think of an R&B singer. But that was a good match. And then we had OBE once again come out in full force, trying to get Swan to join the OVE Brotherhood or whatever they call themselves out there. So I thought that was kind of cool there. And of course, the LAX OVE match. You can never go wrong with those guys. It's been a while since they actually wrestled against each other. So that was good. And then towards the end there, where Ortiz went to the back and then challenged the Lucha Brothers and Conan almost had a heart attack. I thought that was kind of funny, which now we'll see them, you know, wrestle in Mexico and get a big crowd out of that because they're going to go back home in a whole different arena than they did a couple of last year. So I'm interested to see how different it's going to look on TV from the whole different arena this time around, with Impact starting tomorrow night for the next 4 weeks from Mexico.
Yeah, those Mexican crowds are always good to Impact, and it should really be a party.
Yeah. Yeah. Lucha. Hopefully it's not a Lucha. Lucha Libre Party or Lucha Party, whatever the other group is called. Whatever.
Lucha House Party.
Yeah. God, my.
That bullshit.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know it was that long of a name. I thought it was just Lucha House. It's Lucha Party or something like that. So it's actually Lucha House Party Gold.
No, they had these matches on Raw for the longest, Lucha House Party rules.
Oh, Lord. And what are those about? Like, what, three-man, six-man matches?
Yeah, I never really paid attention to it that much. All I know is it created a lot of outrage.
Well, thank God, this is the reason why we do not talk WWE nonsense here. So, anywho. And then, I think yesterday was the big blow that Twitter went on unhinged when the news came out about Abyss and Sanjay Dutt actually leaving Impact Wrestling to supposedly join WWE up there in Connecticut. So I saw Twitter was just losing their minds yesterday about this. I mean, what do you think this whole situation, Miss?
honestly at Abyss because he has hung on the longest with Impact because he's been there since the original Asylum days. So his kind of floored me. Sanjay's not so much because you have, you know, like the Jeremy Borash connection there and also the Matt Hardy connection with WWE. So I think that maybe Sanjay is going to, you know, be a coach at the Performance Center or something like that. And I think that Abyss, maybe they could do like something short term with him in NXT and then he, you know, joins the creative team or something like that. But yeah, you know, that's really all I see from it. And it, like, Sanjay didn't surprise me that much, but Abyss did.
Well, wasn't there a rumor before, I want to say maybe 10 years ago, maybe, where Abyss supposedly almost went to the WWE to maybe feud against Undertaker, and then they say he kind of got scared and decided not to go and stay in Impact instead?
Yeah, that was a big thing way back in the day.
Okay. Now, do you see any of them wrestling or just working backstage?
Sanjay, I tend to see more straight to backstage. Abyss, I could see maybe like a 3 to 6 month thing of him on screen, and then they respectfully retire him or something, and then he just works with the company.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw this and I was like, it didn't even faze me at all. Like, it didn't like hurt my feelings. Like, oh my God, these two guys are leaving. You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, they've paid their dues to Impact. And there's a time that you have to look and say, okay, I've done everything that I could here. I'm getting a better opportunity somewhere else with better money, maybe a better, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, support system, you know, because we always hear Impact is going to go out of business here or there someday, you know, so many revolving doors and stuff like that. And this, you know, WWE is more settled in. You know, it's not going to go anywhere in the next 20 something years. So, you know, it's good for them to go somewhere else and taste the food somewhere else, you know, get that money, you know, get some, you know, they pay their dues. So I didn't see anything wrong with it, but I guess people on, you know, Twitter land kind of went crazy about it and stuff like that. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But then we also, yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
The people that were just hating on it and just being like, how dare they leave Impact after all these years, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, if you had the opportunity to make more money, would you turn it down?
No.
Like, all you're hypocrites, so.
No. If the, like, they just, like, that old saying, you know, the grass is not always greener at the other side. But it's the WWE, it's the mothership. I mean, the grass is definitely greener somewhere else. And you see it always getting greener per year. So it's not like that. Like I said, they're not going to go anywhere anytime soon. But then you have the news that Conan and Tommy Dreamer are stepping up and taking the positions that Abyss and Dud left. And to me, that's kind of a win-win situation for Impact. I mean, because Conan does have a long lineage of wrestling influence. I mean, he's huge in AAA, Crash Lucha. He could bring guys over to Impact from Mexico. Bring him over. Same thing with Tommy Dreamer. You know, he has his House of Hardcore promotion that he has going. So I could see them doing something in the future with Impact and House of Hardcore, where they could do a lot of talent exchanged or have a show there in Philly and stuff like that for the House of Hardcore. So I see it as a step up with the two new guys coming in Conan and Dreamer. But, you know, I don't know how you feel about those two guys coming in now and taking the other two spots.
I mean, Tommy is a great creative mind, and Conan is good, too. So, I mean, all we can do is give this a chance. That's all we can do is just see how they handle it in the beginning and just see what happens. It's kind of a stay tuned type situation.
And then another last news from Impact Wrestling. You know, it's already been 2 weeks that they've been on the Pursuit channel and on Twitch. And to be honest with you, I have no clue how none of this stuff works, of who's watching those shows or the numbers, but they didn't rank in the top 150 2 weeks in a row, and I don't even know what type of numbers they're getting on Twitch. But I'm just happy that they're on somewhere platform that I can actually watch the show. It's been almost a year since I wasn't able to watch the show. So, you know, people still complaining about, oh, well, they're here, they're there, they need a better channel. Unfortunately, folks, they are not going to get a better channel unless somebody comes in like Tech Turner back in the days with big pockets, big influences to help them get a better channel. What they have now is what we got. They're not going to get any better channel than what they have now. So, I don't know, Miss Switchblade, what do you think there?
I know that I saw a number of almost 8,000 for Twitch, which is down significantly. But I don't know. I think we're just in that first adjustment period, and maybe we need to just see this out for a few weeks and just see how it happens, and just keep watching and keep monitoring, because at this point you really can't, you know, you can't put the total decimates on it yet.
Okay.
You really can't. So I'm just kind of waiting, hanging back, and just observing right now. You know, I'm going to need like at least like maybe 3 months of numbers, you know, at least with Twitch, just to get a feel for how this is going.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you about giving it some time. I don't think in 3 months from now, numbers are going to matter, because like I said, I don't even get anything about the Twitch numbers. So hopefully it's something positive. You know, because I'm tired of people just bashing Impact on Twitter on a regular basis. My goodness, it's getting ridiculous already. But anywho, let's move on from Impact before we get sad again. We just go into Ring of Honor news. Yay, Ring of Honor. Stepping up, folks. Stepping up. With good news, we always get bad news. And let's start with the bad news. We had two injuries happen. One to Chris Sabin. He definitely has a torn ACL, and he's going to be out of action for at least 8 months to a year. So that's devastating for him, because this is the third time he's had an ACL injury, you know, and I really, really feel bad for this dude, man. Really feel bad for this dude, Chris Sabin. Flip Gordon. He actually has some better news. Whatever he thought it was bad, it's not as bad as he thought at first. So he should be making a speedy recovery and should be coming back in the next month. So with the good news, you get bad news. You know, you get Flip Gordon back, but then you lose Sabin again to an ACL injury for another year. So, I mean, what do you think about those two guys?
I love Chris Sabin. Have since Motor City Machine Guns, and you know, it just hurts my heart to, you know, hear this for him, you know, with it being a multiple knee injury type situation. You know, I just hope that he recovers as quickly as he can.
Remember the first time when it happened to him back in 2011, the first ACL injury on the one knee, and he was out for a year, and then on the first match that he came back, he does a dive and then blows out his other knee with the ACL, yeah. And then he's out for another year. I thought that was devastating, man, when I saw that, because I was just so happy to see him back, and then he does that dive or jump over the thing and then blows out his other knee. Oh my good Lord, this dude has bad luck. That was all bad.
All you can do is just send some good karmic vibes his way. That's all you can do.
Man, I was crying when that happened to him. I was like, man, this dude is just like, I mean, one of the best tag teams out there, the Motor City Machine Guns, and you know, that happened back to back. But we also have Tracy Williams of the new Lifeblood group, and PJ Black has signed contracts with Ring of Honor. So they'll be here for a year or two. So that's also a plus for Ring of Honor. You know, having the Elite leave, but at the same time, at least having a flux of young wrestlers coming back in now. You know, with PCO not being young, but, and then my man Brody, he's there now, and then the whole Lifeblood group formation. Those are up and coming new guys coming up. So I'm kind of excited to see those guys go forward. the contract. But then you also have Rush. He only signed for 1 year contract, so he's only there to 2020, and he'll start whenever his visa is issued. And we already know how that's working out for them, Miss Summers.
Yeah, just this whole visa situation is just messed up across the board. And it's even having effects on the New Beginnings shows.
There you go. That was the next coming up.
For New Japan. And New Japan Twitter is on fire right now over this crap. Like, people are pissed at New Japan, and I'm like, well, we can't exactly blame them because, I mean, how are you going to get a visa when the government shut down? And I'm like, and I halfway want to be a smartass and tweet, you know what? Why don't you get on the phone with your senators and representatives and tell them to get off their ass and do their freaking job instead of just bitching at talent and the company on Twitter? Because the company is an American. There's nothing that they can really do about it. So why not, you know, do something to make a change about it? Because now it's infiltrated your bubble. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, that's just fine.
Yeah, now let me ask you a question. Yeah, let me ask you a question, because I think you're going to be there for WrestleMania weekend, right? In New York?
Yeah, I'm going to be going to the block party with the OGs. And then I'm going to go to WrestleMania. I'm still looking for maybe like one little small indie show just to go check out on there.
Were you thinking about the G1 show with New Japan and Ring of Honor, or no?
Yeah, I was, but I would have to change my flight in order to make it. Okay. And the flights are just getting expensive.
Well, yes, they are. Now, that's the I'm pulling you to something, because I want to ask you a question about this, about the whole G1 show. If before you knew the Elite was going to leave and a lot of the changes coming up, if you knew the Elite was not going to be there, were you going to maybe even think about getting a ticket to the G1 show, knowing those guys were not going to be there?
I would still go just because I love New Japan, period. So I would go, period, end of story. You know, whether Kenny the Bucks, Cody, Hangman, Marty are there or not, you know. So, I mean, that's really, because I'm so loyal to New Japan, you know, like, it's just a non-factor. And I guess that's why I've been able to be so above the fray when it comes to a lot of this recent drama and crap that's been going on Twitter. Because I'm just sitting back. I'm like, we've been through this every contract season. Let's just keep going.
Because the reason why I asked, because I was like, okay, what would it happen if fans would have known those guys were not going to be there before those tickets went on sale? Would they have sold out so fast, knowing that 7 to 10 guys were not going to be on the show coming up in April? Yeah, that's always been my kind of thinking. Like, what would happen if people would have known those guys were not going to be there? Would it be a sellout so fast or no? You know, so
it depends on which fan, you know, really sold that out. If it was the New Japan loyalist, or it was the more recent New Japan, what I call bandwagon type fan, or, you know, what type of fan is this that sold that out? You know, like, that's really where you're going to find the insight on that.
Okay. Now, how you saying that quick, the answer right there now, how, keep going with that one now. Think about the G1 shows coming up, not having any Japanese wrestlers because of the visa issues. Will you still go to see them if you have a chance to go to a G1 show?
Well, I'm planning on going to the G1 in Dallas.
Okay.
The one that kicks off the tournament. And I think that at that point, this whole thing is going to be sorted. And I think it's going to be a non-issue, in all honesty, because the situation has to be taken care of by then. Because if not, our whole freaking country is screwed. So, you know, I would think that if they would maybe have to change the show format or something, you know. And it could maybe, if, you know, the visas aren't taken care of. So that's kind of a thing. Like, I don't even want to cross that bridge right now. Because can you think of the mess that would create? Jenny Holm per... Like,
yeah, I mean, and but
like that almost gives me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Say that again, because you were breaking up.
I mean, like, just thinking about that just really almost gives me an aneurysm. Just thinking about how move all of those tournament matches. They're going to move everything around. You know, it's just like,
you know, and there were
for Gato right now.
And I know they were saying that, you know, that the reason why they do have the USA chapter of the New Japan is because they want to expand into the States, which means I'm guessing not every show is going to be filled with Japanese wrestlers. It's more going to be more with American wrestlers and the new, what do you call those little guys that are still learning the in New Japan? The young cubs.
The LA Dojo Young Lions. Yeah,
the Young Lions.
They were, these New Beginning shows, they were kind of advertised as the backbone of these events anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wasn't like, you know, people were promised Minoru Suzuki, Naito, Sonata, Evil, Death, Ibushi. You know, it wasn't like people were promised that from the beginning. So, you know, like, I think people's expectations were maybe a little bit too high. And then now with the government shut down, now they're really disappointed. So now they're really mad. I think that's a lot of it.
Now, do you think if everything works out where the government opens up again, do you think they'll have enough time? Because I don't know how visa stuff works. I don't know how long it takes to get a visa. I mean, do you think if the government opens up by this weekend or sometime before the end of the month, which is already next week, do you think they'll be able to get visas done that fast?
I would say it would be very, 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 very close.
Very close.
Because immigration is a hot mess as it is. Add the shutdown, that's going to create a backlog. So it would be, if it happened, it would be by the skin of their teeth.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm not know much about the visa stuff, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, enjoy G1. At least they're making an effort to come to the States. They're making more shows in, you know, now that, like you said, they hit Dallas and Texas and then the one in Tennessee in Nashville. So at least they're making efforts. It's not their fault this stuff is happening. You know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, so, and then the G1 coming up in April, you know, if people were bought tickets for 7 to 10 wrestlers, then you know that they were stuck in the Elite and the whole Bullet Club thing and not really watching the whole product of New Japan. So, which will kind of suck, like you mentioned, people are just stuck in one thing and not seeing the big picture. And I'm surprised we don't have any AEW news. Do you have?
Yeah, AEW has been kind of really slow this week. The only thing is that Triple H acknowledged it in a conference call.
Oh, he did? He did?
He acknowledged.
Oh, wow.
He acknowledged it and said it's obviously something that they're going to keep a watch on. So AEW has been noticed by the Fed.
Jeez.
I mean, that's really the only thing. And then Cody's teasing something tonight at 8 Eastern or 8 Central. I'm not sure which time he's teasing something online.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, really, that's the only thing that, you know, is breaking with AEW.
Hey, I know Twitter. I mean, you got to love Twitter because Twitter is just a blast to be in there. And you have all these AEW conversations and stuff. And I'm like, wow, it's only been 24 days, folks. Let them do something first before everybody starts jumping off the ship. You know, out the windows, and people just getting arguments about this stuff, and I just sit there like, wow.
Like, I just sit back and watch it, just like, really?
Mm-mm-mm. Well, Miss Switchblade Queen, I think that's it for today's show, because we went through the whole list and we don't have any AEW news to get us through, but I just want to say in public, the NFL screw you guys, the New Orleans Saints. So, yeah, I don't know if that's going to make you feel any better. I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if the NFL, you know, can go on and say, okay, we're going to have both of you guys come back and play with a minute 55 left and go from there and see what happens. I don't know if that's even possible nowadays. Or maybe next year. They'll have the Jordan Saints start 1-0 before the beginning of the season. Already give them a victory.
I don't know.
And maybe two extra bye weeks. Give them two extra bye weeks. One a week 9 and then one around week 14. So they're healthy for the playoffs. Miss Summers.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I thought you probably just hung yourself there, crying.
No, I'm just like, I don't want to think about it anymore.
Well, folks, that is the top of the paper as you hear it. And like I always say, and we always say, if you're on Twitter, please be nice to each other. It's only wrestling. That's it. Nothing else. So for myself, Miss Summers in New Orleans, she was going to get herself a big bowl of gumbo, skin some snakes, and hopefully she'll have a good dream tonight about Drew Brees, right? All right. So with that being said, folks, we will see you next week, and stay warm. Be nice to each other on Twitter, please. Thank you for listening and have a nice week.